Amen. Let's go ahead and take the Bible this morning to the Psalms 23, Psalms chapter number 23. We began talking a little bit about this last Sunday morning, and if you weren't here, we talked a little, verse number 2 on Sunday night, verse number 3 on Wednesday night. Today we're going to look at Psalms chapter 23, verse number 4, and I think on Wednesday night, tonight we're going to speak, I believe, a mission type message to get our hearts ready for a missions conference and our missions week. And on the Wednesday night, we're going to do the fifth, but on the fifth installment, verse number 5, then the Sunday morning after we get done missions conference, we'll look at the last verse in this wonderful chapter. Now, this chapter has been a blessing and a help to me, and I pray it's been a blessing and a help to you so far, and I think today could truly help if you allow it to. And I know it's probably a very familiar verse and something that people are used to hearing, but I think it's something that there's a truth here that is unlocked by caring. So what do you mean? Well, the Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And that next phrase, it says, for thou art with me. And we began this a number of weeks ago talking about delighting in the Lord's presence. And it's the idea, do you care? Do you care that God sees what you do? Do you care that God knows what you think? Do you care? Because you can't delight in God's presence, you can't find joy in the Lord unless you start caring. And here in this passage of Scripture, when you see this, he says, thou art with me. It talks about one of the hardest times, the valleys. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And the reason why they're not fearing any evil is because God is with me. And I know sometimes people look at this verse and they're talking about the veil of darkness, about people dying and kind of going over. And I don't think the Bible really talks about that for a believer. This word shadow here implies the approaching of something, the nearness of something. It does not imply that we're going to enter into some type of darkness, because the Bible says that thou art with me. It's talking about the great shepherd, talking, in God there is light, there is no darkness. And so to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And when the rich man opened up his eyes, he was in hell. There's not some type of mysterious valley they're talking about here. They're looking at one of the most difficult things that people face, death. And they're saying here, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know that death is coming. And there are times when we enter into the valley, which most people would consider the valley being a low point of our lives, and the valley of the shadow, where we all know that we're going to die today, someday, and we're entering into that valley. I'm not going to fear evil. I don't have to fear evil. And it's not just referring to death here. I think it's referring to, as we walk through this life and as we walk through the days of our lives, we do not have to fear evil. Why is that? It goes back, thou art with me. God is with me. But the only time that we get that privilege and that promise is when we care. We like our fears. We like our worries. We like our anxieties. They hurt us, but they make us feel better. But when we know that I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me, I'm not going to fear the evil, because I care that God's with me. And it comes with knowing that, yes, God sees everything we do and God understands everything we do, and there's no thought that's withholding from him. But it goes back to just caring. I taught the lesson about understanding the presence of God to the Master Club's kids, and I said, none of that matters if you don't care about it. If I don't care that I'm doing wrong, who cares if God sees me? If I don't have a proper perspective of God and a proper understanding of God, why would I care if I do something wrong? And that's what the verse is saying here. I'm not afraid, no matter what happens to me in my life, even to the point that I'm walking through this valley where I am close to death. None of that bothers me, because I know who God is. And I'm not letting these things bother me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now look at that a little bit this morning. But we're going to start off in verse number 1. Just going to read through it. You probably know the verses, but just to reiterate some of the things we learned already. The Lord. Remember what we learned about last Sunday morning. That we're talking about God, the God of the universe. We're not talking about an individual here that's going to fail. We're not talking about an individual that do not have the resources to help us. It is as David is acting as he is the lamb and the Lord is the shepherd. He knows what it is to be the shepherd. He knows what it is to be a king. He knows what it is to be on top of the world. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. In a sense, he's delighting in it. He's bragging. He says, you might let everybody else lead you and guide you, but the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And it speaks there about that we're satisfied with whatever the shepherd gives us. We're not out looking for other things. We're not out trying to feed ourselves and feed other appetites. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And then he goes and he says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. We looked at that last week on Sunday night, talking about the different things that have to be there for a sheep to feel comfortable and be able to lie down in green pastures. It means the presence of the shepherd. It's free from fear, free from friction, free from other things that are going on that cause the sheep to feel comfortable enough to be able to lie down in the green pasture. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to have rest. He does not want our lives to be filled with anxiety and filled with worry and filled with burdens that he does not want us to carry. He wants us to learn that he's our shepherd, that we don't have to want the things of this world. We don't have to have an appetite for the things of this world. We don't have to long for them. We can find comfort and rest in the green pastures. What God says is the green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. He gives us a safe place to drink. And the importance of water, we looked a little bit at that. In verse number 3, we looked on Wednesday night, he restores my soul. So he brings back something. And sometimes, so many times in our Christian life, we are dry, we are anemic, we are weak, we are looking for something. And the shepherd, the Lord, is the only one that can restore our souls. And then talk about he leadeth us in the paths of righteousness, that he's never going to lead you to a place that's wrong. If you're allowing the Lord to be your shepherd and you're not wanting the things of the world and you're being satisfied and resting in what he's brought you to, he's going to lead you into the path of righteousness. They might not be the path that you chose. They might not be the path that you want to go to, but it is the right path. He cannot lead down a wrong path or a wicked and evil path. And then he says, for his namesake, the shepherd has a plan for your life that's found in those righteous paths. The shepherd has a place, not only just leading, it's the paths of righteousness he's leading you to. And then he has a purpose. He's going to get glory out of this. This reason, this purpose for his namesake, that he'll get glory and receive glory from your life and where he has led you, and that he'll get glory out of all this. Now, you see there's a little change here in verse number 4. It's about the halfway point. It says, for though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, then he begins, instead of making it talking about the shepherd, he begins talking to the shepherd. He says, I will fear no evil. And then he says, for thou art with me. And then he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So instead of delighting and boasting in the Lord being his shepherd and all the good things that the Lord has done and provided, he now is speaking to the Lord, and he's saying, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help this morning, and we'll jump right into the message. I will fear no evil. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you help today. Lord, we didn't just come here to check something off our list or be a part of some type of ritual. God, we want to hear from you. As we open up your word and understand the truths that are found in your word, there are things that people need to hear this morning. Lord, there's things I need to learn and have impressed upon my heart. And Lord, I pray that you use this time and you use my words and my voice, Lord, to be your words, Lord, and your voice to the hearts of the people. God, speak to people's hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing I see about this, and we won't spend much time here, but it's an important trait, is to remember the certainty of death. The certainty of death. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there is a time where we will all pass. Death is a mystery, but it's not a time of darkness. Death is a divider. Death divides us from the littleness of life. The thought of death divides us from the things that really hold no meaning. Death separates us from the things that should not trouble us. The prospect of death, the thought of leaving here, helps things, puts things in proper perspective. And when we consider this, there is a certainty of death. Say, Pastor, what do you mean? We're all going to die someday. I'm not trying to be fatalistic, and unless, and of course, when the church is raptured out, where it's a little bit different there, but the Bible speaks to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to born and a time to die. Just as surely as you were born, someday you will die, according to what the Bible says. And so what does that mean to us? We need to be prepared. We need to be ready. And that time is the most troubling time for many people. Death may come suddenly, or it may be a result of a lingering disease. Death may come through an accident. No matter how it comes, there's no doubt from this recurring thought, death is going to take place. The Bible says, as the point unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. So the point of the certainty of death, why we should be concerned about that, is when they're talking, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we realize that it's something that we will all face someday. And if we're talking about a shadow being something that is a coming thing, it's something that we're all walking through this valley of the shadow of death. Yes, some people know that they're near death. Some people know that they're getting close to dying. And that's where most people put that equation, the valley of the shadow of death. But in all reality, we are all walking in that shadow of death because no one of us know how long we'll have. Accidents could happen. Disease could hit. You know, all types of things could take your life. Just like that. There is a certainty of death. And you say, Pastor, why is that important? It's because of the fact that we need to be prepared. We need to be ready for the day we meet God. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. There is someday when we will stand before God and we make the decision here on this world, in this world, and on this earth, what we will do with his son. Whether we choose to believe and receive him by faith and put our faith and trust in his finished work on the cross and what he did as when he was died and he was buried and rose again for our sins, that happens. And someday we will all face this truth. We will die as we see death all around us. Now, I've had the opportunity in the last month to see people who I thought was close to death. And I've over the last 15 years, I've had the opportunity to visit people who were close to death. And as I've had the opportunity even to be in rooms and near people as they have passed away and knowing that they're near death and the doctor says, hey, it's only going to be a day or it's going to be 2 days or it's only going to be a few hours. We don't know how long you have. That is a time that is to many people very agitating. That is a time where many people are very troubled, but it's also a time where there's some people who find great hope and great relief and the comfort of knowing what the scripture says. So just as there is a certainty of death, there is a comfort in death. You say, Pastor, how in the world can you have a comfort in death? And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit because that's what the passage is talking about here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, though I go through some of the most difficult things in my life. And I look across the room and I know that not many of you have a disease or if any of you have a disease and the doctor's only given you a week or 2 weeks. To my knowledge, no one's been given a month to live or 6 months to live. But I think we can make applicable here as we walk through the valleys of this life, there are things that we got to remember. Just as if we can have confidence in God and confidence in our shepherd that someday when I face death doors, I do not have to fear that because Christ is with me. The valleys and the trials of life, we do not have to fear evil. You know why? It's because he's with us. And I know some of you are carrying a heavy burden. I know some of you have your hearts broken. I know some of you, many of you, I hear your stories and I know your stories and things are troubling and things are dramatic and things are seem overwhelming. But just as someone who's facing death, they can be there on their bed and they're saying, I know I don't have to be worried about anything. I know I don't have to fear about anything. I know that God is with me. I can have comfort in death. You can have comfort in life also. A few Wednesday nights ago, we were finishing up 2 Samuel, and we went to 1 Kings, and we looked at David's death. And we saw this mighty man of valor. We saw the great, sweet psalmist of Israel. We saw the man who killed the Goliath, and the one that took on the bear and took on the lion. And he is a man that is getting ready to die. He even tells his son, I go as the way of the world. And you know that there's death. And he's laying in this bed. And it's a sorry sight because he can't even get heat. They cover him up with clothes. They cover up with blankets. And I can only imagine him, because as you see, so many people's bodies have been taken away from him. They seem like they're skin and bones and there's not much health. They can't do much. They can't move much. He knows he's getting ready past, and he's laying there in that bed. He can't even keep himself warm. That's where we're all going to be someday, if the Lord allows us to make it that long. And someday we're going to be struggling. We can't take care of ourselves. But he says, has Solomon come in. He institutes Solomon as king, and he gives Solomon challenges. He tells him that he's going the way of the world. He tells him he's not fearful of what's going to happen. Instead, he has comfort on his time. He's telling him to be strong. He's telling him, show thyself a man. He's telling him, hey, look, walk in the statutes of the Lord. Do all these things. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the God. So the man who wrote this is laying on the valley of the shadow of death. He is getting ready to pass on, and you don't see him. He don't seem worried. You don't see him upset. You see him saying to the next king. You see him saying to his son. You see him hearing him saying to the people that are around him, hey, look, you need to keep on following God. The best decision I ever made was to walk in his statutes. The best decision I ever made was to follow his commandments. He's not there and anxious, not knowing what the next step is going to have. Instead, he's saying, yea, though I walk through this valley, you know what? I'm not afraid. I don't fear what's going to happen to me after this world, because thou art with me. And I want you to get to this understanding that even though we go through trials and hardships and hard times, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He says he's going to take us and make us lie down in the green pastures. And sometimes you got to force the lambs to lie down. And sometimes you got to understand they're going to drink bad water if you give that to them. They need to be led to the still waters. But he takes you and he restores your soul and he leads you in those paths of righteousness. And we come to this moment, the psalmist is saying, even when I'm walking through the darkest valleys where the shadows are there, I don't have to be afraid. How about it? What valley are you going through in your life today? What challenge is it that you're facing? What are you afraid of? People are fearful for their families. People are fearful for their finances. People are fearful for the future. People are fearful of so many things. And many times the things that we worry so much about never even happen. But not only is there a certainty in death, there is a comfort in death also. I want you to think about this verse in Proverbs 14:32. The Bible says, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous have hope in his death. The righteous have hope in his death. So how can you have hope? It's because you can have comfort. Comfort does not come from what we have or what we are or what we have accomplished in our lives. If you think that you will, at the end of your life, you'll look back and you'll say, like David, man, I killed Goliath, or I've done this, or I've done that. At the end of your life, you have not hope in what you've done. You have hope in a person. You have hope in the shepherd. Your hope is not found in how much you have accumulated. Your hope is, and I've been around people, and sometimes people have good memories and things like that. But when time comes, when it's the end, and they know it's, some people are fearful, they become afraid because God's never been real to them. They've never allowed God to walk with them through that valley. They've been fearful during their lives because of tragedy that happens and circumstances that happen, and because they never learn and they never care to grab a hold of this thought, I am with you. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. I see what you're doing. I know what you're doing. Thou art with me. Do you care that God sees what you do? Do you care that God hears what you do? Do you care that he is there and walking through this valley with you, and he's going through this trial with you, and you do not have to be afraid? You do not have to go looking for other things. You don't have to be asking for other things. I shall not want. You can drink of the still waters. You can eat of the green pastures, despite around all of us and despite all the problems that are happening. He can, as it says in verse number 5, prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Even in that time, he can anoint your head with oil. Even though the rest of the world is going crazy and no one else is doing what they should do, you can have peace because he is with you. So how can you have comfort in a time of death? How is it? And he shows us a couple things here I'd like to think about. First thing is, the way you can have comfort is because death does not separate us from the love of Christ. You can have comfort because nothing separates us from that love. If you know him, and if you if you have a personal relationship with them. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 8. You can turn there if you like to. Romans chapter 8, verse number 35, and think about this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And you think about these things. Shall tribulation? They're saying tribulation can't. Distress. Distress can't. Are you going through tribulation today? Do you have distress? Persecution. Famine. Nakedness. Peril. Sword. It says distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril, sword. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Can tribulation do it? Can distress do it? Can persecution? Can famine? Can nakedness? Can peril? Can sword? You know, what you're going through right now, what has separated you from the love of Christ? It says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, and all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then it continues on. And he says, for I am persuaded that neither, that first word, death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't know about that, but I can have comfort in death because he exhausted the list. Whatever it is you're going through, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. And even when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, which I know I'm not trying to preach a message that you're only going to use at your deathbed. I'm trying to preach a message that can help you today, because the greatest example is when you're there and you're dying and you don't know what's going to happen. You can be fearful. You can be timid. You can be upset. Or you can have comfort in death because, you know, and I've been there. I've seen people who have had comfort in death, says, you don't have to worry me. You don't have to worry about me. And I've seen people say, I know where I'm going. And what are you going to threaten me with? Heaven? You know, things like that. You know, they've been there. But I've been there where other people who are believers, who are Christians, who have been blood-bought, they're there and they're fearful. And they're calling and asking preachers to come and talk to them. And I love talking to people. And I love encouraging people. But they didn't get this. They didn't say, you know, God is with me. Nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. And no matter what you're going through today, there is nothing that has separated you from the love of Christ. There is nothing that's going to cause him to stop loving you. Second thing, the reason why I think you can have comfort in death is because he conquered death. So what do you mean? Well, the shepherd, and I know we haven't used a lot of illustrations, and I've been learning a lot about sheep and shepherds and when I'm going through this, but a shepherd many times will travel ahead of time to make sure that where they're going to take their flocks during the different times of year. During certain times of year, they will leave them close to their home during winter times, and they'll use their fields then, but during the summer times when things are good, they'll travel them through. They'll take them through mountains and valleys and things like that. And there'll be times when they'll find places where they have good grass and good places to feed, good places to drink. They'll go scout those things out ahead of time. They've already figured that ahead of time. They're not going to lead the sheep through a spot where they have not been that could be dangerous, which could not provide the things they need. You say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm telling you that it says here what he does. He leadeth us beside the still waters. He leadeth us in the paths of righteousness. We're not going through this alone. You're not going through whatever you're going through today alone. He is leading us, and he is taking you somewhere he's already been. He has already conquered death. He's already conquered a grave. He's already conquered hell. He's already done all those things when he died on the cross for us. And the sheep is something that they are following the shepherd because they can trust in the shepherd because he's already been there. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth in some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him that the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Listen to this last phrase. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. You know, Jesus has gone before them. Jesus has gone before us. He has already conquered death. He's already conquered the grave. He's already conquered hell. We have nothing to worry about when it comes to death. But if we're allowing him as the shepherd to lead us and guide us, and we're finding satisfaction in him, and we're finding rest in him, and we're allowing him to restore our soul, he is the one that's leading us in this pathway. Even if that pathway means sickness, even if that pathway means death, even if that pathway means forgiveness, even if that pathway means I don't understand what is going on, I don't know how to make this happen. Don't forget, he is there with you. But not only is he there with you, he is going there in front of you. He is leading you in this path. And sometimes we want to let anxiety, and we want to let worry, and we want to let things out of our control try to be back into our control, and we forget we're not the shepherd. We're not the ones making this happen. We're the ones that are just following where he has taken us. When we allow him to be our shepherd, we can come to the spot where we don't have to want. We can come to the spot that we can find rest, and he can even, and the table, he can put a table in the midst of your enemies. Who can put a table in the wilderness? God can. Who can feed the manna and the quail and the water in the wilderness where there was none? God can. Who is the one that can help you with what you're going through today? Even when you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, God can. Why is that? Because he said that I'm never going to leave thee. I don't have to be afraid because thou art there. The third reason why I think you can have comfort in death, in the time of death, is because of his rod and his staff. You see here where it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There's some different things here I want you to think about, and we don't have time to develop the whole entire thing. You could preach a whole sermon about the rod and the staff. The shepherd, because he traveled very lightly when they were traveling, but he had two pieces of equipment that he would use. One is called a rod, one is called a staff. A rod is used as a weapon. It is a stick. It is a club-like thing. A rod is used to help guard the sheep, help protect himself. A rod is something that would be like a club, and they would learn from a young age how to throw it, how to use it in very effective ways to help defend the sheep, also how to help defend themselves if they need to. A staff is like a long stick, longer than the rod, and most have a curved at the end. It is a staff was used to lean on, of course. Also, a staff has a hook at the end to help retrieve the sheep. If a lamb happened to wander away, the shepherd could reach out its staff and use the crooked end of it, or the hook on the end, to bring the sheep. If the sheep would fall into the water, they could turn around and they could bring the sheep up. If the sheep went into the briars, they could take the sheep and they could pull it out of the briars. There was two different things the shepherd used, and that rod is a defense mechanism. You can take it to use to hit something that's coming after the sheep. You can also use it to pop the sheep that might be doing something that is wrong. Also, it is something that was used as a care for the sheep. If you look in the book of Leviticus, it talks about how the sheep come under the rod, and it's something that they would use to inspect the sheep, because inside the sheep, sometimes there would be, with all that wool, all that different things that would grow, it's hard to see if there's any blemishes, or there's any type of disease, or if there's any type of problems. So they would come under the rod, and they would count it with the rod, but they would examine the sheep with the rod. And the rod, many people believe, and use the example as the word of God is like the rod, or the rod is like a word of God. Because the word of God is our defense. The word of God is the one that we hold to. The word of God is what we go to. The word of God is what is our rock. And if we have struggles, if there's defense that comes along our way, the word of God is the one that teaches us and tells us how to defend against those things that are happening in our life. Also, the word of God is what we use to examine ourselves. Just like the shepherd would use the rod in examining the sheep, we use the word of God to search us and to teach us and help us. The staff is similar in the fact that to the Holy Spirit. The staff is something that you can lean on and you can depend upon. And the Holy Spirit is the one, when we're going the wrong way, the Holy Spirit many times will hook us and try to put us in the right direction, put us in the right path. And that rod and that staff that people would not understand, that how can the Bible give me comfort? How can the Holy Spirit give me comfort? David has looked back and he's understood that that rod and that staff, that they comfort him, because over the years when he was going the wrong way, God would pull him back. When he was going the wrong way, that God would take and examine him and would show him with the word of God and reveal unto him the needs he had. He says those things that maybe we have hated or we really don't put much time with or give much effort to, the word of God and the Holy Spirit are the things that help us through what we're going through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The things that you have provided for me, the word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, they comfort me. I don't find comfort in what my friend says. I don't find comfort in what I can work up or what I can accomplish or what I can dig up. I find comfort in what the Word of God says and what the Holy Spirit of God does in me. And because of that, I don't have to be afraid. I know that you're with me. And the Word of God encourages me. The Word of God teaches me. It searches me. It's my defense mechanism. When I'm worried or when I don't understand, I can look in the Word of God and I can learn and I can grow and I can see what truth is. And it will show me what I need to change. So today, we look at this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. How many of us are afraid today about something? In our lives today, what are we worried about? What is it that we have not turned over to God? Because I know someday we're going to be like David and we're going to be laying on that bed and we're not going to be able to get heat. We've seen people like that before. We've seen people that in the weakest moments of their lives, breath is going and fleeting. Someday we're going to need that. But you know when you learn that? You learn it in the valleys today. You learn it with the circumstances you have today. Because if you don't learn it today, you're not going to have that peace on that bed. And I'm not saying we do it for the peace on the bed. I'm saying that we do it so I don't have to fear evil today. If I don't figure it out, something bad's going to happen. If I don't make this happen, something bad's going to happen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. I don't have to want all those things. I don't have to figure all those things out. I just got to let the shepherd lead me. And when I get to this spot, and I know some of you are going through so much, and I know sometimes even in my own life, fears come up and worry comes up and heartache comes up, and you're, what am I supposed to do? Have I let the shepherd lead me? Am I following the shepherd? Am I letting him put in those paths of righteousness? Because in the stories of the Bible, even in David's story, all those things he had to face, he went through valleys. He went through Saul chasing him. He went through all types of things in his life. And God kept him and saved him. And he made him to where he looked back on his life and he says, I will fear no evil. Saul wanted evil for me. Everyone else wanted to catch me. This person wanted evil. The king's helpers in Gath wanted evil. Everybody else was against me, but I wasn't afraid. How can that happen? How can Daniel be in the lion's den and not afraid? How can Joseph be in the prison cell and still have a joyful atmosphere? How can people do that? It's because they've learned something. Thou art with me. And it begins by caring that and remembering God sees everything I see. God sees everything I do. And I'm not trying to live a life to make sure that I use that as a prop to make sure I behave myself. No. I delight in the fact that God sees me. I delight in the fact he hears me. I delight in the fact he knows what I'm thinking. Because he can take me and he can lead me. He can take me, he can make me lie down. He can take me, he can bring me to the still waters. He can take me into this path of righteousness. He can restore my soul. No one else can do that. I can try all these other things. I'm not going to find help. I'm not going to find satisfaction. What I'm going to find is depression. I'm going to find anxiety. I'm going to find worry because I'm not allowing God to let me rest. And in a day and time when the world's going crazy and we see our culture changing daily in front of us, How can we find peace and rest? It's found right here. There's a certainty of death. Someday you're going to be there, and we don't know when that day is going to be. You should make sure you're right with God today, because Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loved you enough that he sent his son to die for you. And I believe that if you choose to put your faith and trust in him, you can have a way to heaven. There's a certainty that you're going to die, whether you get it right or not. There's certainty you're going to be on that deathbed someday, if you're not done by surprise. There's a certainty that there's going to be a last breath. Are you prepared to meet God? But there's comfort, not only in death, there's comfort in the valley too. Comfort because nothing separates us from the love of God. Comfort is because the one who's leading us has gone through it. And comfort because we have the Holy Spirit and the Bible to comfort us. Is there something you need to leave today at the altar? There's something you need to learn to give over to God and say, I'm tired of being my own shepherd. I'm tired of trying to lead it myself. I want to be the lamb, like David said, and can say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a